sure. Thank you, Drew, for having me on, and everybody else. I really appreciate it a lot. I also appreciate what you're doing. I think you did an awesome job last week. I looked at your website.
You.
It was extremely accurate, and your podcast was particularly good. And anybody that's listening that needs to catch up, I sincerely urge that you take a listen. It was very, very informative. In fact, one of the most informative that I've seen happening around, and there's been a lot of stuff, obviously. Just to update from it, you know, the Speaker of the Uganda House, Rebecca Kadaga, was going to, had promised to deliver the anti-homosexuality bill, otherwise known as the Kill the Gays bill, as a Christmas gift, and this never came to fruition. A lot of advocacy groups seem to be taking credit for the fact that the legislation was not passed. But let's make this very, very clear. Parliament in Uganda went into recess, which means that they closed the door for the holidays and they will reopen, I believe, on February the 4th. At that time, it is more than likely that the anti-homosexuality bill will reappear on the paper orders that is the agenda of the Uganda Parliament. So it's very important that whatever advocacy is going on and whatever protests are going on, that it remain alive and people do not get taken in by reports that anybody was victorious or brought an end to this bill. The bill is still there. That's the first thing that I'd like to say. The other thing that I'd like to say is that, there's been a lot of reports, even by Reuters and Associated Press, saying that the death penalty is out of the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Please ignore that. It's not, there's an expression, the show's not over till the big lady sings or something like that.
Right.
I mean, I don't like that expression, but that applies here. You know, nothing is over until it's over. The process in the Uganda Parliament involves the bill going to the Legal Affairs Committee for a recommendation and a report. And supposedly evidence is given in that committee. Now, what has happened is apparently, and we don't even have proof of this because nobody gets to see the committee report. Not yet. Certainly not until it's read in the second debate in the Uganda Parliament, which is yet to happen. So apparently, the Legal Affairs Committee has recommended that they take out the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even David Bahati, who you all know and said last week is the author of this bill,
he and I had a conversation,
and I reported that conversation on my blog, which can be found at www.oblogd, with two E's, and oblogdar, with one A, so it's www.oblogdar.me. I reported my conversation with him, and he said the death penalty is out, but that is untruthful. We've been told before that the death penalty is out, but it has remained in.
But that's
nobody
not true.
Has the ability or the authority
mm-hmm.
to take that death penalty out until such time as a new draft comes out of the Parliament. And there hasn't even been the debate yet to enable that draft to occur. So the death penalty is still in until such time as it is formally out. And anything anybody says or writes about it to the contrary is just not the correct way to portray it. That said, even if they take the death penalty out of the bill,
mm-hmm.
let me say this, it's still a death sentence. Think about it. Going to prison for a lifetime because of your God-given, if you will,
mm-hmm.
or universally given, or whatever you believe in, given right to your sexuality, to think that that can be taken away from you
mm-hmm.
is just unconscionable. And a prison term in exchange for your sexuality is a life sentence. It's tantamount to death. As far as I'm concerned, if they take out the death penalty, I will always call it the Kill the Gays Bill. And I hope that everybody else does as well. So that's the second point I wanted to make. And then finally,
mm-hmm.
the third point I wanted to make, and this is the only slight critique that I have of last week's podcast, and that is, you know, when it comes to helping our LGBTI brothers, sisters, and everything in between, I would like to say that we should not be recommending the cutting of aid in the name of the anti-homosexuality bill. Mm-hmm. There are a million and one reasons to cut aid to Uganda, and the foremost reason should be corruption. There is untold corruption going on there. There's the President Museveni goes to great lengths to quieten any kind of opposition. I've had people report directly to me through sourcing and through my blogging that they have been taken into torture houses and tortured because they are standing in opposition to certain policies and to the government. And mm-hmm. not much of this is reported in the media, in the mainstream media. Let me say this. There is every reason to cut aid to Uganda, but not because of the anti-homosexuality bill. And if people cut aid to Uganda in the name of the homosexuality bill, what will happen is there will be an enormous backlash on the gay community in Uganda, and that's just simply unfair.
Gotcha.
And so we should not be doing that. Now, the one thing I do object to is gay tourism going to Uganda, and there have been some, and there will continue to be some. And what I find so objectionable about that, as well as the other countries in Africa where we're not allowed to be gay, is I find it really hypocritical to go and sit hold the hands of your lover at a waterhole watching the lions, you know, feed, mm-hmm. while our sisters down the road are not allowed to hold their hands or kiss their partners. I just find it extremely hypocritical, and I don't want to support that. But that said, there is so much we can do to protest what is going on there. First and foremost, we must consult with the gay advocates and activists who are from Uganda themselves. And I think some of them might be listening to this podcast right now. You know, I want to send love to them and tell them that they are doing an extraordinary job. These are the most courageous people I know. Their names are in highlight, and they are out there saying, talking for everybody who is being persecuted right now, regardless of this bill, mm-hmm. in Uganda. People are suffering, and we need to acknowledge these people and listen to what they want us to do, not to run off and do our own little thing, because quite frankly, you know, we're not respected as Westerners interfering, and so there's got to be a better way for us to behave. They have asked for us to continue protests, maybe to stand outside Uganda House in various communities, embassies, you know, things like that where we could put up our signage and come out in droves of people saying this is not okay, it's intolerable on an international level, it obscures what you've promised to do in terms of treaties and stuff like that. It's unconstitutional in Uganda itself. We all know that. You said that last week. But, you know, we need to protest, and we need to be seen to be noisy and saying we don't like this, but we really need to follow the lead of the Ugandan activists.
Yes, Melanie, about this bill, I read somewhere, and I would like for you to confirm that the president of in Uganda, that they cannot veto this bill once it's passed. Can you explain that?
Yes. What happens procedurally is that the President Museveni does not have the power to outright veto the bill the way we understand that in American terms, the way our president could veto a bill, for example. So what happens is, because it's known as a private member bill, it goes to the president for his assent, A-S-S-E-N-T. If he chooses to assent to it, that'll make the bill go through. But he can choose not to assent to it, in which event he sends it back to Parliament. If he sends it back to Parliament twice without ever assenting to it, Parliament itself can pass the bill without the President on a two-third majority vote.
Wow.
So in essence, the President does not have the ability to outright veto the bill, which means that the Ugandan Parliament has something like an 89% approval, mm-hmm. on this particular bill. So you have, you know, a clear picture that it more than likely, mm-hmm. once debated into the second form, it more than likely will go through.
Wow.
That's a scary thought.
That is very scary. Now, talk to us here. Our lovely Dr. Rex did some research, and she shared with us about a supposed smoke screen. She actually did, she found an article behind that, and she shared with us something, an evergreen bill imposing life imprisonment on gays is arguably nothing more than ugly diversion in the hands of politicians eager to avoid real problems. And this comes comes from Jocelyn Edwards. Could you give us a little insight on that, please?
Sure. You know, we've been saying this all along, that indeed the bill is a smokescreen for a lot of problems in Uganda, poverty, corruption, you know, even straight men putting women into prostitution who can't feed their children. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much that goes on there, and I'm not pointing the finger at only Uganda. I mean, that happens in a lot of countries. And but in Uganda, there's a President Museveni has been a dictator, in my opinion, for something like 25 years, and a lot of the opposition to him has been squelched. But, you know, it is a smokescreen, but it's not only a smokescreen. Separate to that is the aspect of scapegoating, which you brought up last week. And so, you know, they're being used as scapegoats. So in that sense as well, it is somewhat of a smokescreen. But it is very real. It's very real in that now, on the ground, people, regardless of the bill, but because of its active place in society and the discussion it's brought, has brought a lot of persecution that never used to be there. Gay people were pretty much unnoticed. It was a non-issue until the American evangelicals came. So there's this added agenda that gets attached to this. I mean, the whole, it's like taking a puzzle where all the pieces just piece together and the puzzle works and finally you see the picture. Well, there were all these facets. The American evangelicals, such as Scott Lively and Lou Engle, mm-hmm. went to Uganda specifically knowing mm-hmm. that this was a place ripe for this kind of proselytization, where they came and they preached mm-hmm. a lot of misinformation, lies, calling gays pedophiles and comparing wow. homosexuality to bestiality and all this ridiculous stuff
right.
that we all know is incorrect and misinformed. Yes, let me say this, and I hate to correct you, but never say never. You know, we've seen the Tea Party rise in the United States of America.
Yes.
We see the influence that these evangelicals have in the United States of America. And, you know, if this happens in Uganda, it's simultaneously happening in different ways in the rest of Africa right now.
So we should be very afraid. We should be very afraid at this point, shouldn't we?
Of course we should. I mean, and it's not just about, you know, it's not just about fear. It's about, as you said last week on your show again, what is right. Yes. Let me say this, and I hate to correct you, but never say never. You know, we've seen the Tea Party rise in the United States of America.
Yes.
We see the influence that these evangelicals have in the United States of America. And, you know, if this happens in Uganda, it's simultaneously happening in different ways in the rest of Africa right now.
So we should be very afraid. We should be very afraid at this point, shouldn't we?
Of course we should. I mean, and it's not just about, you know, it's not just about fear. It's about, as you said last week on your show again, what is right. You know, we have this duty, and I really loved your analogy to the genocide and the Jews.
Yes,
a lot of people don't like to use those kind of analogies, but it's super appropriate because things felt okay when it first started. You know, things don't feel so bad when it first starts. But when it mushrooms, then we really feel the impact.
That's right. And let me tell you, going back to what was going on in the Holocaust, a lot of those Germans, they could smell the rotting bodies, and they did nothing. They did nothing out of ignorance. They did nothing because they didn't want to know. They did nothing because they were lied to by the government. They did nothing because they felt that they could do nothing. And they were afraid. And let me tell you, I think that something, and one of the things that we can do, and you're right, never say never. It does scare me. It scares me a whole lot, and I hope it scares a lot of people. We're not trying to incite fear, but I'd rather educate and create a little concern and caution than to you know, have people do nothing. I'd rather raise
right.
that than to raise and incite violence, because that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of that we're going to send the message that, well, because there's always that group of people that say, see, they're doing it in Uganda, we should do it here, and or if not, they're going to create a big havoc. And I think that's really, you know, they're trying to push the buttons. Like Dr. Rex, she actually says here, they're trying to push the buttons to see how far they can go. And I agree with you on that. Melanie, we have to go on break here, but we want to thank you wholeheartedly for coming on the air, for sharing what you know with us, and do not be surprised if we count on you on future updates, because we need to know, and you being on the forefront, we're the little guys. But at the end of the day, like my statement, you know, like I say over and over and over, and I want this embedded in everybody's head, we cannot change everything. Together, we really can change all the little pieces that matter. And today, Melanie, you did that. You helped us to educate and to teach us what we need to know so that we can change a portion of what matters. Thank you so much for being on the air. Any last words for us that you'd like to say?
Yes, first of all, thank you, Jude, again, for doing this, and please keep it in the forefront. And secondly, I would like to send all the credit and the kudos and the shout-outs to the gay activists and the lesbian and the transgender and the intersex activists from Uganda itself. These are extraordinarily brave people who are on the forefront of something that none of us could even begin to imagine the real fear of it. And so I just send love and light to them all, and I hope that everybody who's listening stays on this topic. It's important. Thank you so much.
We will.